I'm hungry. By the way, this is not like a Passover napkin. I wanted something colorful so that this didn't look like it was a ritual. This is a snack. And I'm hungry. And it's the Days of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so look what I have. Whoa. Look at that. This kind of helps me with the title for this sermon. I've never given one like this. I don't know how it'll turn out. We'll see. But the title is Unleavened Bread Comes in Many Flavors. Good ones. We had some good ones last night. These are leftovers. Remember when we could have potlucks on the first holy day and we'd bring things from the night to be observed and we'd share them? That's what I'm doing, except I'm not sharing. I'm actually going to enjoy this. You know, Christ ate in front of his disciples. He was cooking fish for them on the shore when they were out fishing, Sea of Galilee. He even let them bring some of the fish that he gathered for them and said, throw your net on the other side. Oh, that's so good. I love unleavened bread. God instructs us to eat at most of his feasts, and that's, I think, one reason they're called feasts. You can read in the Bible about all the things you're supposed to do on the feast, especially eating. The Father gives us, it says, the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, the living bread. And so we get these spiritual lessons from something so good as these physical things as well. And Christ said, he who eats this bread will live forever. I want to live forever. This is egg and onion matzo. You ever had egg and onion matzo? Oh, it's so good. And then she bought a couple boxes. It says in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And here it is, it's the first of those 7 days, and I'm obeying God and eating unleavened bread. God is such a great teacher. He can take something so simple as bread and teach us things that could help us gain eternal life. Just think of that. It's just amazing. He shows us that we can learn about holy character and conduct by eating bread, unleavened bread. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'll probably use this one 3 times in the sermon. It was already used in the opening message as well. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so we see there's that correlation between the physical bread and the spiritual meaning of it. Sincerity and truth. And these pieces of bread only represent something so much better. Let us keep the feast. And so all these 7 days, as we are taking in the unleavened bread, we're learning those spiritual lessons. And here it mentions 2 of the flavors, as I call them, of unleavened bread, sincerity and truth. The Feast of Unleavened Bread has many spiritual lessons that can help us in our spiritual journey. And one of the most important of these is learning about the bread of life, about Jesus Christ, who said he is the bread of life. And so we read and we see, how is it described in the scriptures? How do we eat that, in a sense? And Christ said in John 6, to eat that bread from heaven, he who eats of it shall never die. How do we eat the spiritual lesson of Jesus Christ living in us in that way? How does it change us in our thinking and in our conduct? So I thought it would be good today to take a change of pace. In preparation for the sermon today, I went through five different topics, and some of them I got about half done. I'm going, no, that doesn't feel right for this year for us. I wanted to do something else, and finally I thought, it's the Days of Unleavened Bread, and I want to do something fun, and I want to do something worthwhile and productive, and something that maybe will help us to remember as we go forward in these 7 days and even beyond. Today I would like to read in the scriptures about some of the different types of unleavened bread that we find there, and to make it a point to help us all to eat of those things, the spiritual bread, to partake of those things during these 7 days of unleavened bread and every day afterwards, because every day afterwards is just as important that we continue to live in this way. And again, the title is Unleavened Bread Comes in Many Flavors. I just love all the flavors that I've tasted, except a couple I didn't. So let's start by noticing a couple of details in this verse. Again, you see it on the screen, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. I'm going to actually turn to it because it helps me to think about it more. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, again. And it's so very familiar, but it's just packed with good things. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us do that. Keep it. And it says, not with, I almost made the title, not with, dot, 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 but with. But then I thought, no, that's too archaic. That's not so fun, because that would emphasize the contrast all the way through the message. And you already know the contrast, and we'll see a few of those as we go today, because they're all through the scriptures. But today my focus is the but with part. But with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we see then this is already defining some of the qualities of that unleavened bread. I want to focus on the spiritual side of this today, not on the negative contrast of it so much. But one thing that will become evident as we look into these topics is that the many flavors of unleavened bread blend together. They're often mentioned in conjunction with one another, several different types of unleavened bread being in the same verse. And so we'll see that as we go. And I have today seven different flavors that I'd like to bring to you, to our attention. And the first flavor is there, mentioned right in this chapter, sincerity, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so let's look a little bit in the scripture about sincerity. So in order to do that, I'm going to take a bite. This is like sincerity. This is a wonderful hand homemade croissant. It's just great. In 2 Corinthians, you don't mind if I talk with my mouth open, my mouth full, do you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul wrote this. For our boasting is this. The testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. What does this teach us? It shows us, that's so good. One thing about unleavened bread, you just savor it till it's all gone. Sincerity is a trait of character possessed by God and by Jesus Christ. See that in the verse? It says, godly sincerity. And that's the kind that is the unleavened bread that we are to partake of. We who are God's people, led by His Spirit, are to be perfect as He is. We are to ultimately have the same qualities of character as our Father and as Jesus Christ. And it is a quality of Jesus Christ as well. Look in Isaiah 53 and verse. I should have saved that croissant for last because I need a sip of water now. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, it says this. And they made his grave with the wicked. See, it puts it at the time of year that we're in now. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And so we find that Jesus Christ was sincere in every way. And this is one of the verses that shows us this. There was no deceit. It was all right and true. There was no deceit in his mouth. He spoke of this in John 8 and other places as well. He spoke of the truth of God. We're going to look at that a little bit. We see in 1 Peter about him as well. And we're reminded and we say, what does it mean to take in the sincerity of truth? And so we look in 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 21. Familiar verses, but now to apply them toward the unleavened bread of sincerity. Beginning in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So as we're eating of this unleavened bread, which symbolizes eating of the bread of life, we're following in his steps, learning to be like he is. It says, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile again in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so we see there was no guile in his mouth, no deceit. He was sincere. It's a very good quality of character that is godly and that we can partake of as we eat unleavened bread. We can keep the feast in that way. And learning through his word to be sincere in our life, in our speech, in our thoughts even toward God and toward one another, to be able to have a full, open, honest, sincere relationship with God and with Christ and with each other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see an example here from Paul, but we also see the connection with God again in this quality. And one thing I'd like to point out as we go is that it's the spiritual qualities that are described that, in fact, are the unleavened bread that we are partaking of as we go through this week. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. And so look at, as we read these verses, we see different flavors of unleavened bread begin to show up together. We give no offense. That is an unleavened bread approach in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And Paul was writing this, supporting his efforts to help in much patience, patience is an unleavened bread that we can partake of in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes. Paul was saying whatever he had to go through, he was dedicating himself to serving God and serving his people in imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and fastings. It says by purity, by sincerity, by this is one of the descriptions of sincerity, is the pureness of this approach. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering. Another aspect of unleavened bread that we take in, long suffering. And so we can see this throughout, but you see how these things blend together, the good, positive qualities and characteristics of God and of his people, by kindness. It's highlighted in the first message. That's such a powerful kind and flavor of unleavened bread, kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by a love that's unfeigned, by a love that is true, by a love that is always sincere, always good, by the word of truth, another aspect of unleavened bread, by the, remember, unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, that's why I blended a number of flavors in this plate, because God's character flows in all these different ways in the relationships. It says, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. You see these contrasts that come? Whatever Paul faced, those who were with him, he always stayed on the unleavened side of the equation. As deceivers, some people said they called him a deceiver, but he said, as true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed. I think what I'm showing here, what I'm reading and getting from this, is a very active life in serving God and whatever came to still stay unleavened and be unleavened in his approach. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Another aspect, the unleavened bread of rejoicing. And Jesus Christ showed that example too. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And so this is a lifestyle of someone who lived with God's Holy Spirit, as we now live with God's Holy Spirit, understanding his way. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, Paul wrote this in Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love, again, the unleavened bread here being described, your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And so when it says we keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, it's describing how we live, how we are, how we think, how we react to God and to one another, by sincere, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We get filled by those things by partaking of his own character, eating that bread. There's another flavor we read already, that being truth. In Psalm 15, in verse 1, and I wrote these down on my paper so I didn't have to turn, but you can turn there. In Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3, it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill. We sing a song of this, and it's one of our Sabbath hymns, or it's one of our most favorite. He's among the 8 most favorite song leaders in the area. He calls these anthems, and we sing this anthem. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. We keep the feast by speaking the truth in our hearts. It's something deep inside us. It's something that is in there because it's put in there. We eat of that bread of life. It comes into us. It's Christ in us. And we can simply look at these things and say, this represents that. It goes on with the contrast. Verse 3. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So you see the contrast? But today we're looking at, we're speaking the truth in our heart. And Paul wrote of this again. We saw that, just a reminder, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But the best way we can do this is how? How do you do that? How do you keep the feast with truth? The best way is this. It's in Psalm 51, verse 1 through 3. It leads into it. The best way we can keep the feast with unleavened bread is to change, to be transformed. Another word for it in the scriptures is to repent. And one of the best examples of this in all the scriptures is in Psalm 51, when David repented. And we read of this in verse 1 through 3. I didn't write this one down, so I will turn there. Psalm 51, verse 1 through 3. David writes, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And we know what that is this time of year. As we come through the Passover, our preparations before, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And then drop down to verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. He wants us to be unleavened in truth in the inward parts. And David realized this after he made some terrible mistakes. And he said, this is what you need. This is what you desire for me to live this way, is to have this truth in my inward parts of my heart. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. That's how we can partake of that. So you say, how do you eat of that bread of truth? It starts with repentance. It starts with the things we see in the scripture. But it goes beyond that. It's not just repentance, because Jesus explained it's a process that all believers go through. And he showed us this in John chapter 3. Very important chapter in his ministry. He's describing the love of God. He's describing being born again. Some really significant things he's talking about here to Nicodemus, who came to him at night. In John 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so you have the contrast of the leavened lifestyle. And now look at the unleavened in verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now, how do we keep the feast with the unleavened bread of truth, we do the truth. We do what is right. We do the truth. He who does the truth comes to the light. And so it's an active thing in doing this. And it's something that we can really apply. Truth is something that we live. It's put into action. It's something that we do. Otherwise, it's just something that we know. Truth is shown in the way we worship God. In John chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, this tastes good, but it makes me want to keep sipping water. That's okay, because I don't plan to post this message anyway, because the people online couldn't see all the bread. But it's just for you today and for you online. In John chapter 4, verse 22, it says this: "You worship what you do not know." Christ was here talking to someone he was interacting with. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Keeping the feast in the unleavened with the unleavened bread of truth is that we're worshiping God in the way we live and the way we think. We worship him in truth. It's part of the way he has called us to be. And we weren't that way before he called us, but we're becoming that way. And we become that way by partaking of that unleavened bread. And so every day this week we do that. We're taking in truth. And we're living by his way. What a great flavor that is. And this leads into another flavor of unleavened bread, and that is obedience. We obey him. Knowing his truth, we obey him. And we've already seen this in that verse itself, the worship in spirit and in truth. Notice how it's blended so beautifully with the example and the character of Jesus Christ and with the other flavors of unleavened bread. In 1 Peter again, chapter 1, when I look at these, I always like to see the connection to Jesus Christ. How is he presented? How is he described? What does it say about him? And what can I learn about his example that I can apply in my life? In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers," again, the unleavened things we used to do, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested these last times for you." And continue. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren." Notice all the unleavened qualities that are in the same verse. And we purify our souls, and we're putting away the old leaven that is in our lives. We obey the truth in sincere love of the brethren. "Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And the word of God is called the bread of life. And we partake of that. And so, please do. I will. Someone might ask, how is obedience connected with the symbolism of eating unleavened bread? So let's look at a passage that helps us to understand this part of the lesson. In Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24, this is a really good passage to start early on in the days of unleavened bread. Kind of gives us a guideline for the rest of the days. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And notice the unleavened side is clearly spelled out again, so that we know what to avoid. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, that's a terrible thing, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I think by having clear description of these things, it helps us to see the contrast and know more clearly all the things in our own life that we should put away. But again, today we're focusing on what we're bringing in, what we are partaking of, what we're eating. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that unleavened truth that you put off concerning your former conduct. See, it's not just what we think, but it's what we do that we put off and what we then put on in place. We put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here comes in the good with the taking in of the unleavened bread. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created to God, created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. All those beautiful unleavened things that God has created us to become and to attain to. To put on the new man means to put on Christ. And so we do that by eating of his flesh, as it says in so many scriptures that we read. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 12 through 14. Rejoicing in hope. Wait, that's chapter 12. Rejoicing is good too. Chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And so we see the obedience here is more than implied. It's something we do. We put on. We're being obedient and taking these good qualities in. We put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, but in not in strife and envy, but put on. And so here's another aspect of this flavor that I'm calling obedience. In obedience to Jesus Christ, we would do this, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And so we eat that bread by following what he's teaching. There's another flavor, and it's really a good one. And for this one, I'm going to pick this one. This is an unleavened lemon dessert kind of thing. We had some last night and this morning. And now, this is the unleavened bread called mercy. It's something that's so good to receive. It's so good to give to others. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. Got to take a bite of mercy. I had to eat two bites of that one. Hebrews 2. I know Nancy's going to talk to me about eating with my mouth full later on, but I'll wait till then. Hebrews 2, verse 17, and it says this: "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." He understands us because he was made to be like us. Physically, he understood the temptations, the hunger, the hurts, the tiredness, all of those things. He could be merciful to us because he understands these things. We can be like him and be merciful to everyone around us because we're human too. But he said to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Some of us have suffered, and we're able to help others. This is giving the help that we have received. This is mercy. He was a merciful high priest. And to be able to share mercy with another person is sharing what he has given to us. And we can put that into practice this week. We can keep going at it, get better at it this week, and live it in the years, in the weeks and years ahead, to be merciful as he is. This is part of the lesson of unleavened bread. Remember in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, where he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy," to be merciful toward other people. What a wonderful flavor of unleavened bread that is. And in James 3, verse 17, we read this: "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." The things we receive from God, the bread of life that came from heaven, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Again, all these unleavened qualities that are there for our consumption. It's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's what we need. This is taking in that bread of Jesus Christ and partaking of his body in this way. The wisdom that is from above, it's full of mercy. And I know I need that, and I know you probably feel that you do, and we can all share that with each other. And doing that means we're keeping the feast of unleavened bread with the unleavened bread of mercy. Another flavor is honor. For this one, I'm one of my favorites of all time. I eat this year-round, decades on decade, Triscuits. I should have bought stock in the company about 40 years ago because I'm probably one of their better customers. So I chose this one for honor. It's really good with peanut butter. To worship Christ and the Father in sincerity and truth, we must honor them. In John chapter 5, you see, in John 5, verse 22, honor starts for us honoring God and honoring his Son, Jesus Christ. It flows from there. In John 5, 22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to his Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father." So when we are taking that unleavened bread of honor, it first flows out from us to God. He gives us the unleavened bread, and we give honor to him. It says, continuing, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Again, you see the contrast there. And let's continue to verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. That's the result of eating unleavened bread of honor and taking that in. Honoring God and honoring his Son. And he who does these things will have everlasting life. This is so good to know. We also need to be able to honor one another. Look in Romans 12. In Romans 12, verse 9. Verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Love, unleavened, without hypocrisy, sincerity, unleavened. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Again, a whole list of unleavened qualities here. In honor, giving preference to one another. You see, this was given just at the beginning here when Mary Jo brought over to me the note to show she didn't want to take someone else's honor, but to give that honor to the one who wrote the music. In little things like this, it really matters. If we're doing it in little things, we're going to do it in big things. We honor God by honoring others as well. And doing it, in, as it says, in sincerity. And so there's so much to learn about how we can do this. It goes on and says in verse 11, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Three more qualities of unleavened bread right there. Diligence, fervency, and serving. Honoring others is a way, again, of eating the bread of life. Symbolically eating that unleavened bread. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it speaks of the body of Christ, and the bread represents that, as we know. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. It's such a good thing to be able to come together in greater numbers and see around us now what is being described here in the scriptures. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor need, again, can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our temperate, our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is putting into practice the eating of unleavened bread and gaining from it the meaning of the spiritual lessons there as well. That there should be no division in the body. We should have that love for each other. It says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. This is a way of giving honor to others because we care enough about them that if they hurt, we hurt. If they are rejoicing, we can rejoice, as it says. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We have to take these occasions to really pay attention to what's going on in the lives of others. And when there's a need for us to suffer with them, but they know that we care and we do. And when something happens that is good for another person, to rejoice with them and show that honor to them. It might be a graduation from a school or a college. It might be the birth of a child. It might be a healing that happened. It might be a breakthrough in a job, or it could be so many different other things. But people need encouragement to be able to rejoice and to have life worthwhile and to be able to share that with friends and family. And this is living in the way that shows the respect and honor. It's a way of showing the unleavened attitudes that we have toward one another. It honors God when we honor other people. There's another kind of flavor I'd like to mention. This is patience. Which one shall I choose for patience? This is a good one. Just a simple little cracker, but gives us patience if we think about it. I don't know what your favorite flavors are, but all through this week, I'm going to be trying all the different kinds I can. And patience is something I really need. In Psalm 40, verse 1 through 2, we learn about patience. It's something that we partake of in personal ways as we are being patient with one another. In Psalm 40, verse 1 through 2, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Do you ever do that? Wait patiently for the Lord. We have a need in our life and we pray and we still have the need for another day or another week or another year. And we wait patiently for the Lord. He knows the best time for us to answer our prayers. It says, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. When we have a patient approach toward God and he hears our cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Sometimes we feel like we're in that horrible pit, don't we? That's a time when we can have patience. That's a time when the unleavened quality of Jesus Christ, who patiently waits for us, he can bring us up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. Last night at dinner, we were talking about the calling that God has given to those of us who are there. And as you go through the room and you hear the stories and you realize that a lot of us had to wait patiently for the blessings that we knew were coming in God's word. As we come through our own journeys, and sometimes things take a while before we see the blessing that is there, but in the process of it, we've learned so many other things. And patience works endurance. And we have gained other blessings that we didn't have and couldn't have received unless we'd gone through and waited patiently for the Lord. And he lifts us up and brings us out of that miry clay, sets us on a rock, and establish our steps. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here is Paul is opening this book. He writes of his thoughts toward those people that he served. And I always like to read the opening verses of the books of Paul because you see so much of the relationship that is understood there among him and those that he served. And it can be this way for us too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Their faith grew exceedingly, and they were patient and faithful, even in all their persecutions. That's living an unleavened life. That's living by that bread that is called patience. And I hope that there's much of that for us in this week ahead, to be patient with God, wait patiently for him, and to be patient toward one another. And one last flavor of unleavened bread I'd like to mention today, but there are many more. What I'd like to mention today is perhaps the greatest of all, and that is love. And for this one, look what I saved. I love chocolate. And I'm not sharing it. But someone shared this with us last night, and I had a couple. I want to talk about love as we close today, brethren. We read in Romans 12 already, but let's turn back there again. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy all by itself is one of those leavens that we're supposed to put away. And love without hypocrisy is pure love. Love without hypocrisy is unleavened. Let it be that way among us. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We could see so many verses that describe this, that it's the attribute of God that is so clearly defining him that it says simply, God is love. And truly, of all the unleavened qualities, this one would be the one that we really should take in and eat and consume, and it becomes part of us. And it's God in us, and it's Christ in us. It's his love in us. Be kindly affectionate to one another. This is how we show that. Because we don't just take in the love, we share it, we give it out, it flows out from us as well. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And you see again the flowing of all of these together and how they work together to bring good things to God's people. And that's what he wants to bring to us, brethren, during these days of unleavened bread. We could have talked, and I have in years past, and there will be messages in the future, of all the different meanings of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, coming out of the world, going into the kingdom. It's a journey. We could have all of these things. But unless we take in that unleavened bread, it's just knowledge. Unless we become like Christ, unless we have that kind of attitude, that unleavened bread that is his, that he gives to us. Brethren, there are many more kinds of unleavened bread we could all look at. Generosity, compassion, integrity, diligence again, thankfulness, so many more. But let's just keep it simple. And look what we've read in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 again. And this can be the little title we could put on a card and put on our bathroom mirror and on the deck of our car. We could put it wherever we could read it often and think about it. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.